The lips, the teeth, the tip of the tongue,
the
lips,
tip of the tongue, ting, the tip,
the ting.
Wait,
the
no,
tongue.
No. What does he say? He goes, the tip of the tongue, the teeth, the lips. Yeah.
In choir, we used to Jack do Black. Tuna made me. No, it was like, mama made me mash my M&Ms, nah, nah. But then we also had like something about tuna.
Yo, choir is so weird.
It was like,
acapella.
Bumblebee tuna. I love bumblebee, bumblebee tuna. I love bumblebee, bumblebee tuna. Tom and then it made to bread to me. Something like that. Hey, what's up, everyone?
I wish you could see Sarah's face when she does that. Big smile.
What's up, everyone?
Hi, everyone. I'm Liz.
I'm Sarah.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast.
So we are super, super pumped because these mics are just really fun.
They're giving us life. Like, if this whole podcasting thing doesn't work out, we can just do karaoke in Sarah's room.
How do we make a living? Oh, well, I guess we still don't from this. So
Triggered.
What's up, everyone? This is really exciting for us because I think we finally figured out how to work these mics. I hope. And it's just really fun. Like, we just sound so much clearer. I feel so much better
than before.
Warner.
Sorry. Okay. Should we? Okay. So episode 10.
Holy moly of pearls. Episode 10. We're looking right into each other's eyes with huge grins. If you couldn't hear them through the mic.
Eser is the number in Hebrew in case anyone wants to brush up. Right? It's Eser, right?
Yeah, it is, because when I was in my last summer of camp, we called it Gesher Eser, which means bridge 10, because you're the bridge to adulthood.
Oh, camp is weird.
Yeah, camp is weird. But Eser number 10, episode 10, which actually, you know, makes sense because we just hit 1,000 followers today.
Yes, we
so
did.
So the number 10 is just, you know, maybe if we get $1,000 somehow, that would be nice.
$1,000. Yeah, no, episode 10, that's pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
And do you want to share your peak and pit of the week?
Absolutely. So my pit was that I was really stressed with work this week. And, you know, we all have those days. Everybody has those days, said Hannah Montana. But yesterday was definitely one of my days. It was just it didn't go well for me at work. And I was really upset about it. But my peak is that we hit 1,000 followers.
Yes.
Like, that's exciting. And like, I'm just really honored that people, like 1,000 individuals, follow our page.
Especially given ratio culture, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone's always trying to, like, keep their ratios down, and they're like, you know what, this one's worth my follow.
Yeah,
you
it's
feel me?
Really, like, you're so right. I do that. Like,
I do that
follow
too.
People, because I'm like,
they're not worth my follow. But it's like, who yeah. cares? You could just follow whoever, right. And the
then
people.
Sometimes I'm like, my feed is so boring. Like, I'm going through my Instagram feed, scrolling.
Oh,
I'm
it.
Like, this is so boring. Why don't I follow better people? And I'm like, oh yeah, because the ratio.
Right.
so lame.
It's so lame. It is so losery.
It's so stupid.
It's
like,
so bad.
Just follow who you want to follow. Like, it's Instagram.
And follow your arrow wherever it points.
At Spacey Casey, sponsor us.
How would that work?
Maybe she would just,
like, we would
have us
we would
sing.
Like, play her song and be like, have you guys heard, we're the radio, like, have you guys heard this new beat?
Yeah.
It's coming straight like, from Golden, Texas.
Yeah, we're like, now on the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast, we have Follow Your Arrow by Casey Musk. She's like, that one's been famous for years. Try a new one. We're like, we have
Golden
Mary
Hour. She's
Go
like, that,
round.
I just did that. Yeah. Like,
she was like, that was my first song.
Has anyone heard of the song Biscuits? Nope. It's great. Okay. No, but here's the thing. Sometimes artists need like their old discography to be listened to more. Do you know what I mean? Like, they should do that. They should somehow advertise for old music so that it's like brought up again.
But I mean, I was going to say, I feel that way with the Jonas Brothers, but like, they also, their songs were out for many years and people weren't vibing with them like radio wise. So like, they were very famous in the Jonas world, but like, a lot of new people weren't like, hey, have you heard that
right.
song year 3000? Like, it was just
right.
You were a Jonas Dan or you weren't. But which, speaking of, the Jonas Brothers self-titled album from 2007 is probably the best album I've ever heard in my life.
Give it a whirl. Okay, so I'm gonna do my pit. My pit is pretty easy because it followed a very high peak. I think my pit was just coming down from like the high of the mm-hmm. weekend and meeting Kanye and being like, oh, that was great. And now I want more of it. And I don't know how to get it. And mm-hmm. not just like more of meeting people,
losing people,
but more of like, how do I interact with like artists more? How do I go to more concerts? I literally, every time something good happens, I'm like, I need to go to more concerts.
I mean,
like,
yeah, this is the story of my life.
I know it is. And
it's a high that you just want to replicate over and over and over.
And even if it's like, I obviously can't do it every day. I want to have it to look forward to. And so yeah. I'm kind of waiting for a tour announcement or like someone to just give me more money so that I can pay for more cool experiences.
Right.
Because I can't be chasing celebrities all the time.
I can't be chasing
happiness.
Well, if you're me, you can be chasing celebs all the time. Follow me at Sarah. No, I'm just kidding.
L Sassone. That's M like Nancy.
Yep.
And then my peak was more of like a breakthrough peak, which was in therapy. I was able to talk about a relationship that I have in a really new way. And while we are vulnerable on this podcast and I do like sharing things, I also want to keep things private. Like there are some things in life that are important to be kept private. So I'm not going to be like super specific, but basically relationships in life are constantly evolving. And yeah. It was nice to sit in therapy and be able to reflect on something and have my therapist be like, do you hear the way that you just spoke about this?
Yeah.
And it was really meaningful. Like it just, I can't overstate how important it is to have someone like look back at your progress and name it for you, and then you then shift your perspective accordingly. Like your perspective is already shifted, but it's important that someone's naming it so you can now like evaluate your life and your relationships differently. So that was really special, and shout out to her. So today we're going to talk about something that we did touch on last week when I was sharing my peak and pit, which is a concept about, we're going to talk about relativism. So how to deal with your anxiety in the scope of other people's anxiety and issues. And, you know, I think there's a sort of meta anxiety that people get. I know I get it when it's like, I'm feeling anxious about basically nothing. Like I'm just sitting at my desk anxious. And I know that there's someone near me who's dealing with like tremendous anxiety. If you know someone who's like, if you're a young woman and one of your friends just went through a miscarriage, or someone lost a parent, or someone lost a job even, and you're kind of sitting in your own life and being just feeling very anxious and you can't even name it, or you feel like it's small in comparison, like you feel like you didn't do a good job on one task at work, and you're like, well, how can I be anxious when my friend just lost her job? And I think we're going to kind of talk about that and sift through it and try to evaluate why we do it and why we should stop doing that. This happened to me recently. I know someone who's dealing with the anniversary of a relative's death, and this was happening on the same day that I was feeling very like personally anxious just in my own existence, like kind of in an existential way. What am I gonna do with my life? How am I gonna spend the next 5 years? And meanwhile, there's people around me who are dealing with like very concrete like grief issues, or people that are dealing with real, like, I don't know, real, like what feels to me like, quote unquote,
deserving
real.
More.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want to act like emotion, like everything is actually the same. It's not. Like people who are dealing with loss, it's not the same magnitude as someone who's dealing with anxiety about like, oh, I'm anxious that I didn't do this one task right at work. Those are different. Like the magnitude is different. That doesn't, like the point though, is that doesn't mean that the feelings I have are invalid just because there is other people that are dealing with like things that in the grand scheme of life are more, you know, dire.
Yeah. I think it's really important, at least in my experience, to try and find a balance between letting yourself feel your feels and validating your own anxiety, because that is helpful in getting through whatever you're going through, but also understanding that, you know, sometimes other people, or sometimes your situation isn't as like serious as you think it is. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like sometimes you have to be honest with yourself, and you do have to force yourself a little bit to find the rationale in what you're experiencing. And sometimes that can be a positive thing, because sometimes when I am like, okay, Sarah, come on, be rational with yourself. Like, is this really worth being upset over?
Yeah.
It helps me, because I'm like, no, like there's really nothing wrong. I'm just anxious because I'm anxious, and because I have a lot of like feelings that aren't there. There's no validity to them, you know. It's just my fear coming back up and telling me I should be anxious. But I've had a lot of experiences where friends are going through something and I'm at the same time going through my own anxious thoughts, and I kind of like in those moments have to be like, okay, like I on one hand am allowed to feel this way. But on another hand, like, this is a good opportunity for me to see, like, to be rational with myself and see, like, if anything's actually wrong in my own life.
Yeah.
Not wrong in my own life, but, like, is this situation worth being upset over? Sometimes other people's situations can help you come to terms with your own.
Completely. And there seem to be a lot of factors involved. And some, like, one of the factors is dealing with your own anxiety in the scope of a friend situation and trying to cope with yourself. But also in that same vein, how can I be a good friend to someone when I'm going through things myself? Mm-hmm. And I think that comes all the way back to, you can't try and put your anxious feelings away in a box just because you think that they're not valid or you just don't want to deal with them. Like, yeah. The hardest part of getting through anxiety is, like, opening up the box and dealing with all the feelings in there, because you just want to push it away. It doesn't feel good right. When you first open the box. Mm-hmm. But the more you, like, open it and start to, like, look at everything that's making you anxious and name it, the less it will sit in the box and, like, mm-hmm. The less it will come into your body. Like, for me, when I try to put anxiety away or I try not to deal with it, I try to ignore it, it comes up in, like, my stomach and my back and my shoulders. Like,
completely.
It physically upsets me. And
you're literally pushing it into your body.
Exactly.
Literally.
It
goes from your brain to every other cell in your being.
And it's interesting that you say that, because last night I was telling my therapist that I've been having some, like, near panic episodes on the subway, which is really scary. I've talked about that a little bit on the podcast. But, like, I think it's, like, a conditioning issue, because I get anxious about work. And so when I'm on the subway, I think my body knows that I'm going to work, and I start to get really worked up because there's that, like, no out feeling. So it becomes, like, it spirals.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, when you feel your anxiety in your chest, which that's how I described it to her, like, you're having trouble breathing.
Yep.
That's the anxiety that's built into your stomach. Like, yep. Literally pushing up into your chest.
Wow.
And so she said, try and breathe through your stomach. Like, of course, she's not saying, like, push the feelings down, but she's saying when it becomes physical, she was like, use your diaphragm to breathe. And I was like, oh yeah, like when I was little and I learned how to sing, like, you know, you have different methods of breathing and different methods of speaking and projecting. She was like, try and breathe and filter the air through to your stomach, not to your lungs. Like, feel it in your stomach. And that felt really helpful, because it was a way of spreading out the oxygen a little bit more, so that it wasn't, like, all contained and felt really heavy on my chest.
Wow.
Which is physical advice, of course, and that doesn't necessarily deal with the mental stuff, but just that's an aside to say that when it does present itself in a physical way, if you've been repressing it and it's coming up, there are things that you can do to sort of deal with that physical thing in the moment, and then mm-hmm. you can sort of sort through those other anxieties once you're able to come back down to earth a little bit.
That's really, really interesting. I'm actually, like, kind of shook right now, because when I get really anxious, like, panicky, and mm-hmm. I feel like I'm in kind of just a spiral, I breathe without even thinking. I go, like,
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Without even thinking about it, I'll go, and right. like, that helps me for, like, even a second, because it feels like my stomach and my chest have been so tight that I'm finally giving air to my whole body. Whereas, like, I was just so clenched before, and it mm-hmm. was like, is that what you thought I was going to say?
Yep.
And based on one of the things you said before, I have learned in therapy that a lot of times my anxiety will creep back up when I least expect it.
Mm.
And it is really important this is why it's so important to deal with your anxiety literally head on.
Yeah.
Because it will come up in the smallest of situations, and you won't understand, why am I feeling this now? Like, and, like, maybe the rational part of your brain will be like, come on, like, think about this rationally. Like, this isn't a big deal. But it is a big deal, because what you're feeling isn't tied to this one event. It's tied to everything else from your past that you're not coming to terms with. So for me personally, like, my anxiety, losing people. But,
TM.
But, like, it's true that sometimes I will experience something really small and minor. And yeah, if I think about it rationally, I'm like, this is no big deal. But what it really is if you, like, unpack it, it's really just a fear about something larger that's coming out in, like, the smallest way.
Absolutely.
So, like, if you're feeling stressed, and then sometimes you, maybe a friend is going through something, and you're like, why am I feeling this way when this person is going through something even worse, it's important to remember, even though on one hand, like I said earlier, like, being rational is helpful. On the other hand, it's like, okay, well, maybe I should really come to terms with what's going on here.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot more than just the situation at hand. It's more than that. And usually my anxiety will come and tell me things like, you aren't good enough and this and that, but it's all tied to something deeper that I'm just trying to work on.
Yeah.
Does all of this make sense?
It all makes sense. And I think it's interesting because we've started the episode talking about the idea of relativity and like how to deal with yourself when your friends are anxious, and we're kind of coming to more of a conclusion about our own anxiety. Yeah. which is interesting. It's like the point is you can't exist in this world by ignoring your anxiety. Like, so my anxiety to me sort of comes in a fog. Like, it's so hard to deal with because I sit there with it and I'm like, it's distracting me from thinking of other things, but I also don't want to let it become clear. Mm-hmm. Because when your anxiety becomes clear, then it's sitting in front of you and you're like, oh no, no, no. Like, so if I'm sitting there trying to do work and I'm not able to focus because my anxiety is getting in my way, I'm just kind of between two worlds.
Right.
I can't focus, but I also don't want to be like, well, here's my anxiety. The anxiety is I'm going to get fired. Someone I love is going to die. And then I'm going to die. And like, you can't, when you say those things, it's like, whoa, like that is,
like, you don't want to handle that right now.
No.
Right.
And sometimes it's like, well, work is the easier thing to do. And that's why a lot of people throw themselves into work, throw themselves into exercise. Even people who deal with like, you know, bad things to get them through anxiety, because anxiety at its core, to me, I think, is biological. And it's like humans, I guess, were originally, we had anxiety because it was to protect us from like imminent death and predators and like, and not eating. And the problem now is there's obviously people who have chemical imbalances, or we live in a very fast paced world. And now, so anxiety presents itself in a way that's like not productive.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to, I think, handle it, you have to name it. Like, you have to be able to say, these are the anxieties that I have. And mm-hmm. then you can start to, like, combat them and almost not check them off your list. But when you see them, it's like our lists. Remember we were saying, like, when you're stressed about your calendar, it's the same thing. If you write it down, or if you are able to at least say it.
Acknowledge
like
it.
To a therapist, to yourself, yeah. to a friend. Then it's like, it's just there, and you get to acknowledge it, as opposed to letting it sit as a fog on you and mm-hmm. then it manifests itself physically. And then you're not able to be a good friend to the right. people who are going through serious things, you know?
Yeah, I think I've gone through experiences where I've been really anxious about something going on in my own life, but mm-hmm. then someone will come to me and be like, I'm really anxious about this, or I'm really upset because this is going on. We've talked about this in the selfish episode, but in order to help someone else, you need to help yourself. Help yourself. I think I've gone through situations in the past where I've had friends going through like real life events, and I have to kind of put aside my anxiety to help them. But I don't end up helping them like I want to, because I'm avoiding what's going on with me. And I look forward to therapy, no joke. Every single week, I'm counting down the days until I get to go to therapy again, mm-hmm. because I feel like sometimes when I'm in my own apartment or at work and I'm feeling my anxious thoughts, although I have more tools than I used to on how to handle it and how to come to terms with, like, you know, a lot of my anxiety is fear. So like, if I'm scared that something's going to happen, I'm going to lose someone or something, or I'm going to get fired. Like, I've been given the tools on how to like talk through the what ifs mm-hmm. on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But I just love going to therapy because it's like the one place that I really feel like I can completely unpack my anxiety and talk through it.
And detach yourself from relationships in general, which it's hard to deal with relationships when you're dealing with your own anxiety.
Totally. I mean, and no one's ever going to be like perfect and
no,
you know, no one's ever going to have it all figured out. And then you can help your friend. But at least acknowledging that like your own feelings are valid is important, because knowing that you're also going through something, even if it's not as serious, you're still going through your own things, and that's really important for you to know that it's okay.
I completely agree, and I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm trying to define what we mean by when we're saying that feelings are valid. What we mean is like, if you feel anxious because you completed a task poorly at work, and when you detach yourself, you realize like, yeah, I probably won't get fired for that, but it's like really stressful when it happens. If you if you're like, it doesn't matter.
And I'm laughing because this is what happened to me. This is what happened to
Sarah. If you're saying to yourself, well, it doesn't matter because, you know, my parents are alive and like I have a roof over my head, then you are really, I think, harming yourself and your own.
Right.
Like, it's just really a bad idea to, I mean, let me rephrase that.
No, I
don't think it's a bad idea. I think it is a good idea to say, well, if you're able to sit there and well, kombucha girl, if you're able to sit there and say, well, I have my parents, or right. I have a roof over my head, I have myself, I have the ability to like get food and da da da.
That's why I said That's why I said earlier that it is a balance.
Yeah, because I actually don't like the culture of, well, like
everything's fine.
No, but like everything is valid and it's all like a flowy doughy space. Like, no, it's not. Like, your feelings are valid, and when you're experiencing anxiety, you should be able to step back and say, whatever is causing this, I feel it and it's real. Now let's evaluate what it actually is in terms of the whole grand scheme of the world.
You can feel what you want to feel.
Or what you have to feel.
Yeah. And sometimes you have to feel something. But as we were saying earlier, like, sometimes you're feeling a certain way about a situation that doesn't deserve you to, like, sometimes situations aren't as serious as you're making them.
Yes.
And even though your feelings are valid, it's important to think, should I really be feeling this anxious about this? And that's why I said it's important to look at the root of the issue, because that will help you handle things that are like issues that are less serious.
Yeah.
Yesterday in therapy, though, my therapist said something. I noticed that in my dialogue, in the way I speak to myself and to others, I say those two words all the time. I feel. I kept saying all night, I was crying to her about something that happened at work, and I kept saying, like, I just feel like, and she kept saying, you feel, but what's really, like,
yeah.
This is why it's a balance. It's like, you have to be rational and you have to look at the situation at hand and say, I know your anxiety is real because it's coming from somewhere else, mm-hmm. and your anxiety is valid, and you're allowed to feel the way you feel, and you're justified in feeling this way. But that being said, look at the event, be rational about what's happening in front of you, and then tell me if you still feel this much about this one thing. And then you'll see that even though your feelings are valid, this event doesn't deserve all the feelings you're feeling.
Okay, and so I completely agree with you.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes. What would we say to people or to ourselves when we were experiencing moments when it felt like we couldn't physically carry a thought through to its logical or rational
conclusion? I mean, this is my whole life. This is the question I've been asking my therapist for so long.
It's very easy when we sit here and we're not currently dealing with an anxious scenario to say, well, we should look at it and be rational. Of course, it gets easier with practice. But if you're someone who's really going through a deep depression, you know, we're not qualified to say exactly what you should do. But when you experienced that,
I did. Yeah.
What was something you did that helped you?
So before I ever went to a therapist, when I was like in a depression, I thought I was being rational by telling myself that no one really cared about me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, well, this is just facts. Like, they don't care. Like, I'm being rational and I have them and that's great. And I have all these blessings, but like, no one really cares about me. So what's the point? But it was when my therapist, when I started seeing a therapist, and she started responding to me by saying, and then what? Have we talked about this before?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When she started responding to me with, and then what? I suddenly felt like there was nowhere else I could go. Like, there was, like, you know, my anxiety leads me to thinking of, like, worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. And then when you say, and then what, over and over and over, you're suddenly like, okay, well, then there's really nothing else to say. And I guess I'll eventually be fine. Like,
I think that the way sometimes to get out of really deep states is to make yourself uncomfortable. Like, when I felt depressed or I was dealing with eating issues and stuff, the only way that I could have gotten out of it, and I did, was like, I got to make myself uncomfortable. It's really...
That's so interesting.
It's really like, okay, don't get me wrong. Feeling depressed and like dealing with an eating disorder or dealing with really like chemical things that are happening in your body, like it's not a good place to be in, but it's also comfortable. Like, there's something about dealing with your anxiety or like having anxiety and having depression that you're just kind of like, well, I'm not going to address this because it's just if I try and address it, then I have to become even more uncomfortable. It's what I was talking about before with the box. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's so profound.
If I have to, like, then start dealing with real life, or not, sorry, not real life, but if I have to start dealing with, you know, the things that other people are dealing with, then this is no longer my identity. This anxiety, right, this depression is no longer who I am, and I have to face, like, the world now. And how can I do that when I'm sitting here and in my anxiety? And let me make this point.
No, I hear what you're saying. Like, yeah,
in order to, I think, get out of your anxious state, you have to do the thing that's like, I need to remove myself out of here. And it feels really hard because you sometimes are like, I can't get out of bed. You have to get out of bed. Like,
no, I hear what you're saying, because if you had told me when I was in my depressive state, like,
get out of bed, Sarah,
get out of bed, I would have been like, no, like, you know. But once I was forced out of bed and I went to therapy and I had to face what was really going on, that's when things started to improve.
Yep.
But when I was just in bed laying around, and when you first said, like, what was one of the, you said something that I was, at first I was like, no. But then I was like, wait, she's right. Like, you said something where you were like, oh, you have to get uncomfortable. And you were like, I know, you were like, it's comfortable to be in this depressive or anxious state.
Yeah, and you were kind of like, what could she mean by that?
When you first said that, I was like, it was extremely uncomfortable because I was so sad. And when I'm anxious, my stomach is so tight and it feels so uncomfortable. However, as I've been going through these, like, growth periods over the years, it's really easy for me to resort back to that.
That's what I meant.
I know. And when at first I was like, no. And then I got it when I was like, that's so profound, because it's so easy to go back to, okay, well, this is what I know. And like last night, I was like really hard on myself about something that happened at work, and I was really upset with myself. You know, I just wasn't happy with what happened at work that day. And I was thinking of, like, worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. And my therapist was like, instead of thinking about worst case scenario and, like, trying to plan for that worst case, why don't you just go home and you just try and sit with what's going on? And that's uncomfortable. Like, it was uncomfortable for me to go home and sit with the fear instead of, like, acting on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, she kept reminding me, like, this is how you feel. This isn't what's really happening. Mm-hmm. Your worst case scenario, I kept saying, well, I know what's going to happen. And she was like, no, you don't. This is how you feel.
Right.
This is how you feel. And that's important to acknowledge, but let's try not to act on it. And it was super uncomfortable, but it was the way for me last night to, you know, come, like, handle and deal with what was happening.
Yeah. I think another good example is if you're dealing with, like, a breakup or something sad is happening, you want to just lie in bed and, like, mm-hmm. Please don't get me wrong, I think it's so important to do that for a little. Yeah, we all have done it when whatever scary things happen. And I actually love, like, living in sadness a little. Like, I'm really sort of morbid. Like, I was walking over here and it was rainy and I was like, I'm just going to put on some Adele and, like, really feel things.
Wow.
And I do think that that's good. But I also think, like, there's a level of discomfort when you're like, okay, I need to get out of this bed now. Like, okay, let's sit in it for an hour or two. Yep. But I can't let myself become depressed over this sad thing that's happened.
It's easier. It's much easier.
Exactly. Even exactly. That's what I mean. Like,
it's you feel so sad and you really, and trust me, we have gone through these things. We are not speaking out of two people that have
that
never
don't have experience.
Felt this. Like, I can't speak for Liz, but I have been in the girl in the bed saying, life will not go on. There is no point of tomorrow. I have zero hope. I have nothing going for me. I've been there, and it's a horrible, horrible, horrible feeling.
But how much easier was it for you to lie in bed and do it than would it have been for you to, like, get yourself up and get out of bed?
It was impossible to get out of bed. Yeah. It was impossible. And then once I did and I started going to therapy, because I knew deep down, I knew this is what I have to do in order for me to get better, I forced myself to get up and go to therapy. Or some nights when I'm in my anxious states and I just want to lay in my bed and sit with my tight stomach, I'm like, I'm going to go out tonight and have a drink with a friend and, like, try and... And that's not me trying to distract myself from my emotions. That's me trying to say,
this is not me. This
right.
is a thing that happened to me and this is the way I felt. I'm going to put it here and leave it in bed for 30 minutes and then I'm going out and I'm moving on.
Exactly.
Right. And here's the thing. I don't want this to sound harsh because I know that there are so many people who deal with depression and, like, it's scary. So my point is, sometimes I think while we have to treat ourselves kindly and we have to acknowledge our feelings and that they're valid, sometimes the things that heal us are the harsh things. And sometimes mm-hmm. that can be as small as getting ourselves out of bed, and or even as smaller than that, writing down what we're feeling and why it's making us anxious. And sometimes those things are as big as having to have people in your life intervene, or you intervening with your own self and saying, I need to go see someone because my life cannot go on this way. I can't mm-hmm. live in this state of depression and anxiety. I need to do something about it. Mm-hmm. And I think what we should do with this podcast is acknowledge feelings and destigmatize anxiety, but also like try and offer solutions for people that are going through it. You can't put trigger warnings on your life. You can help people who are going through trauma and people who have dealt with unspeakable things, but you also need to sometimes make yourself uncomfortable so that your life can improve. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just like, I never want to come off insensitive, but sometimes like anxiety and depression and mental health is insensitive. So you need to embrace it with equal and opposite force and say, no, like mm-hmm. I need to get up and I need to make this better. And I want to acknowledge how hard that is for some people.
It's very hard. And that is something that has taken me years and years and years to even start to confront my anxiety. And like the only way that I'm going to get through this is if I kind of like take a stand for myself
yeah.
and I do something about it. And I will not allow myself to continue doing this. Like, I know it hurts. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm so anxious and I'm so upset, but like now I'm like, okay, what? I'm feeling anxious. I can see myself getting into an anxious state. What do I do? What do I do? I'm literally like, let's go. Like, and I'm conflicted in the way I'm saying this because my therapist tells me like I shouldn't always have to act on my anxiety. Like, a lot of times I want to prepare and I want to like get ahead of it, so I try and like plan out, and that's also not helpful. It's more so like when you feel your anxiety or depression coming to a head, you're kind of just like, what can I do to help myself without this being me ignoring it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Of course. This whole episode we've been talking about how to balance this thing.
It's like a balance. Everything we're saying, like, I think I've just been nervous because parts of this episode are making me feel like I'm being contradictory. But that's what it is. It is a balance. It is sometimes you cry and sometimes you have to get up.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is.
I think a lot of the time it's both. Like, I mean, it's funny. I'm sitting here saying like, you have to get up and da da da, but I am the queen of crying. Like, I cry all the time, and I think that it's good actually, because
yeah, it releases it.
Like, the more you sit in this tension and say, well, this person is dealing with death, so how can I possibly feel this way? Listen, let out what you're feeling, and then you can then go through life and deal with those even harder things in a way that's healthier for you and healthier for the people around you. The mm-hmm. more you sit in what we call maybe a small anxiety, or an anxiety that feels very big, but it's based on something that's relatively small, the less likely you're going to be successful at going through harder things. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think I am very guilty of like feeling guilty when my friends are going through something or people I know are going through something difficult. For example, I know a couple people, two girls I know our age who were diagnosed with cancer in the last year, two separate people. I'm not close with either of them, but sometimes I hear those things and I'm like, I don't deserve to be anxious and I don't deserve to be upset, because relative to that, my issues are very small. But I think that when you're feeling certain feelings, like when I feel my anxiety coming up, it feels as real as ever, and it really in the moment does feel like the end of the world.
Yeah.
You know,
you feel like it's not valid because there's people who are dealing with
worse. Yeah.
Mortality issues. But sometimes anxiety feels that way. Mm-hmm. And it feels, because
yeah, when I was going through my depression, like, you could look at me and say, why were you depressed? Like, nothing was going on, and you're like, nothing that bad was going on with you, but the way it felt and the way that it was happening in my brain and progressing in my brain, it really felt like it was the end of the world.
Yeah.
It was like the worst thing that could ever happen. Or I felt guilty when other people were going through things.
I don't know why we have to make it like...
Why do we have to compare?
Yeah. Like this person is going through something really scary and I'm also going through something that feels really scary. And listen, I know that that's like... we're both kind of struggling to get these words out because it's controversial to say like there's people who are dealing with really scary things and but you know I'm feeling this way, like that's how it sounds, that's how we think we sound.
I think that the listeners are active, like right now you're listening to us go through the issue with mental health in our society, which is that we have so much trouble talking about it, because how do you tell someone that your mental health and your anxiety is real and valid when the issue at hand isn't actually that bad?
Yeah,
like that's the whole thing.
That's the whole thing.
It's like, how do you, like, you feel like you have to, you are hearing me talk about this and I feel like I have to like
compensate,
convince you that my issues were worthy of me being upset. And it's like we said, maybe the issue at hand wasn't worthy of being upset, but it's a deeply, it's something that's built up over time, mm-hmm. and it's anxiety that was building up. And so it's not, maybe the one issue at hand that I was anxious over wasn't the worst thing ever, but the anxiety I was feeling was very real and is very real. And so it's really hard for me not to like try and convince people like, well, like, you know, it still felt really badly, even though the issue wasn't bad. It's like, it doesn't really matter what the issue was. Everyone
has their feelings and they're entitled to them.
It's hard. Talking about these things can make me feel like my brain is all over the place because I'm trying to like sort through what I'm saying. And like, this is part of my anxiety.
Like, and also not come off like privileged in life and being like, well, you know, my anxiety feels this way, but this person might not have food on their table. This person is dealing with illness. Like, but that's, I want everyone listening to know, like, I have a feeling that a lot of people are feeling very similar things. We're trying to break it down and being able to say out loud, I feel really bad and I feel really sad, even though I'm healthy and mm-hmm. there's people in the world who exist and are not healthy. Mm-hmm. It's a really uncomfortable thing to say and confront, because I think at the end of the day, most of us are empathetic people and we don't want to come across like we're not aware of other people's problems. But that doesn't solve our problems. Like mm-hmm. us trying to tiptoe around issues and not say things because we don't want to offend and we don't want to come off a certain way doesn't like help us and our anxiety. Mm-hmm. So I think the point is we're having trouble talking about this because
it's like a scary thing to talk about, I feel like, because we don't want to come across a certain way, but we've also experienced real feelings and we are learning how to get through them and we're trying to help others get through their own anxieties. And it's just a really difficult conversation.
And how many times, Sarah, do you and I say sorry for explaining the way that we feel about things?
Yeah.
All the time.
Like something to one person isn't drastic, but to me, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just like really upset about this. And I'm sorry for feeling that way. It's like, wait, feel it. Like you can feel how you want to feel. And like we said earlier, like you can feel the way you want to feel, but it's important to acknowledge where it's coming from so that you can get through it and acknowledge that, okay, maybe this one isolated event isn't the worst thing, but like I do need to confront my anxiety at hand, you know?
Yes. And the more you are able to go through your own smaller anxieties, the more of an empathetic human being you can be. If you're constantly like worrying about your own issues and a friend comes to you with what you consider to be a dire issue, you now have space. You can now hold space for them because you've cleared out the space in your brain of your anxiety because you confronted it. Like
exactly.
So I think this does go back to the episode about being selfish. Like the more you are able to confront your own anxiety and not treat it like it doesn't matter, mm-hmm. the more you are then able to be a better person for you and for other people who are going through maybe what you consider more serious things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
when people tell me that they deal with anxiety and they struggle with anxiety, like, my immediate thought isn't like what happened. It's like, okay, let's talk through the feeling and let's try and find the root of it so that we can address it mm-hmm. as opposed to like, well, what's going on in your life?
Sometimes when I tell people I'm anxious, they're like, they say that what you said, what happened? And I'm like,
nothing.
Well,
really
I'm sorry,
happened.
Sorry, never mind. Nothing happened. I don't really care anyway. And that was my Ben Platt impression.
Yeah, I was just going to say that was Ben Platt. I don't really care.
Anyway, but
what did he say?
Well, it's interesting because when you go to therapy, a good therapist that I have had, good therapists, I will constantly go in apologizing. Remember you said the story about when you cried and you're like, I'm so sorry, I'm crying. And they're like, It's a somewhat objective profession. Like, I sit with you and I listen to you, and your problems that you're presenting to me right now are as real as they get. Like, that is their entire training. There are professions built on this idea that everyone's feelings are valid, and the more that you can help people through those feelings, the better their lives will be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm certain that therapists deal with a whole host of issues with maybe people like you and me, who thank God are currently relatively healthy, but we're dealing with, you know, 23, 25 year old problems. And they also deal with people who are going through grief, who are going through divorces, trauma, who are going through trauma. And I'm telling you, my therapist has never said to me, well, you know, this person that, you know, I dealt with had went through this, and like, what are you doing? What are mm-hmm. you talking about?
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we look at what's going on in our lives and we're like, this isn't real enough, or this isn't serious enough. But then once you actually talk through like your whole life, like, I don't know if you've ever been to a therapist that talks about childhood, but mine does. And it doesn't have to be like one crazy event that happened.
No.
My first day of therapy, I was like, my life's been great. My parents, my childhood, everything was wonderful. So like, I don't know where my anxiety's coming from. And I was like, I think it's over a boy. And then like over years of talking about it, I realized that it was the dynamics in my family
yep.
that led me to where I am today. And yeah, I did have a great childhood and a happy childhood, but nevertheless, things happened in my childhood that maybe I can't say like that was horrible, but a bunch of different events happened when I was younger that led to current anxieties today.
Yes.
So that's just as real as ever. Like dynamics between people, between your parents, between your siblings, things like that can really form you into who you are later on. And like, it doesn't always have to be like, oh, like what happened to you? Oh, this thing. It's like, no, it's a series of events, and it's just, you know, a lot of it's nature versus nurture, but like the way you're raised and like the house that you're raised in can be everything. And sometimes that's why I think a lot of people have a hard time pinpointing where their anxiety comes from, because they're like, well, nothing's really going on, so I don't know where this comes from. That's why I also think it's important to allow yourself to feel, because just because you haven't gone through a certain like tough event, or maybe you have and it's not as tough as someone else's, it's like you've still encountered a lot of things in your life that led you to feeling the way you feel now.
Right.
And that's why it's important to acknowledge them and to learn about them. Because the more you learn about why you are the way you are,
the more well-rounded you can become, and the more you can handle those tougher events later on.
Exactly.
I'm glad that we're talking about it, because as we were talking about it, we were like,
shit.
We didn't know what to say, because we're trying to change the way people talk about it. And in order
that
to do so,
ourselves.
Oh my God, it's like, in order to get out of a state, we have to make ourselves uncomfortable. In order to get out of the state that our society is in, Sarah and I have to make ourselves uncomfortable and have these conversations.
Right. And it's, I think a lot of times because of my anxiety, fear of rejection, fear of people thinking that I'm not good enough or whatever.
You don't want to present yourself in a certain way.
I get nervous, and you actually probably heard my anxiety coming through in this episode, me feeling like quick, I have to pause the episode so that I can plan how the rest of the episode's going to go, because I'm getting anxiety that it's not going well, meaning I think that some type of rejection is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm actually like, it's uncomfortable for us to kind of just like talk and like sort through these feelings that we're feeling and these thoughts that we're having.
Because there's a lot of self-judgment going on, I think.
A lot. And it's really difficult. And once again, you're not listening to two experts who studied mental health for years. You're listening to two people going through it and talking about it, because that's the only way we're going to change it. And I think even people who have gone through tough events can say that even in the smallest events in their lives, they were still upset.
Yep.
So
I also know people who go through really tough events and they're like, why am I not feeling anything? And like, I think that that's really normal. And I think that that's another thing that people probably sort through in therapy sometimes, is like, oh, I went through this pretty traumatic thing and it's not affecting me the way that I think it would.
Right.
It's just important to feel the way that you're feeling and evaluate it and, you know, live that analyzed life, because right. It will help you.
Or another girl I know is going through a breakup, but had a really, really horrible experience with something with her family last year. And she's like, the breakup's a lot worse than what happened with my family. Like, why is that the case?
And then she feels guilty about it. Sort
right.
of.
And it's like, things just hit you differently, you know?
It
and,
hit different and sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. And it's all about like...
It really do be like that.
Anyways, to round this out into a nice little bow, I hope this resonated with y'all. And I'm experiencing anxiety currently about this episode because...
It's meta.
It's making me feel like I don't have it under control, and that's scary. DM us and let us know your thoughts on this, and whether that be a novel or like one sentence, we love to hear it, and it helps us sort through these thoughts.
Yeah.
And we're all just learning. So the learning studio.
Live from the learning studio. We are all learning, and I think personally that nothing worth having comes easy, and that the way that you change things is sometimes going through discomfort, even with mental health. And we're kind of in this moment where people are like, you know, we have to like make space for everyone, and we do. But in order to make people's lives better, I think sometimes that involves having difficult conversations.
Right. Being uncomfortable is the way to progress.
Yes. So with that, please make sure to follow us on Instagram. We did say we reached 1,000 followers today. Let's keep growing.
Let's keep growing.
At It's Fine, I'm Fine Pod on Instagram. You can follow me at Liz Height, LizHeight. How about you, Sarah? What's your handle?
You can follow me at Sarah L. Sassone. That's N like Nancy. Say it with me. I don't even know a Nancy, so I don't know where that came from.
I know a Nancy, my best friend from high school's mom.
Cool. So
anywho.
So yeah, feel those feels and please let us know your thoughts. All right. Well, with that, it's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Literally. Are you going to really high five me with your foot?
I'm so lazy.